The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now, a man named Zacharias, who was a chief tax collector and also a very wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacharias, come down quickly, for today I will stay in your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. Then they saw, when they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay in the house of a sinner." But Zacharias stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I will pay them four times over. Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
St. Paul uses an interesting phrase in these first lines in his second letter to the Thessalonians. He assures the community that he is praying for them, and his prayer is that our God may make you worthy of his calling. It means that the Christian life is, from start to finish, primarily God's work. We are real partners, not robots, but only junior partners. The Christian life starts with a call from God, a call to follow Christ. And this is something that we cannot give ourselves. It can only come from God because it is a personal invitation. And this call had arrived to Thessalonica through Paul's preaching, just as it has come to each of us through the church. The Christians in Thessalonica and each one of us here answered that call positively. They and we accepted that initial invitation and became Christians. But the call doesn't come just once. God keeps on calling. He keeps on inviting us to follow him more closely. And this is why Paul prays that God may make you worthy of his calling. He's praying that God will help the Thessalonians continue to say yes to God. This means not only is our calling a free gift from God, both the initial call and the ongoing call, but our generous, positive response is also God's gift. It's a grace. Without the help of God's grace, we would have no call to answer. And without the help of God's grace, we wouldn't have the strength to answer that call either. The Christian life is a mysterious partnership. Without God's initiative and constant support, it wouldn't exist. But without our generous response, we can never become worthy of our calling. We are real partners in that work of sanctification. In his biography of Pope John Paul II, George Weigel highlights the Pope's keen awareness of this mystery. Before John Paul II became Bishop of Krakow in Poland, he was a parish priest and then a university professor. And during those years, he dedicated himself energetically to preaching and to hearing confessions. And he became actually a very popular confessor. Many of the people who used to go to confession with him explained to George Weigel during their interview that the future pope gave them a great sense of dignity and closeness to God. They describe how Father Wojtyła at the time would help them understand clearly many very complicated moral and spiritual dilemmas. But he would never dictate to them exactly what they had to do. Instead, after explaining the principles of right and wrong and helping them to understand their hidden motives, he would finish by saying, "But you must decide." This is how God guides us, surely but also firmly, yet at the same time gently. God is immense and all-powerful, as the first reading tells us. Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a drop of morning dew. But even so, he lovingly respects the dignity that he has given us as the very best of fathers. O Lord and lover of souls, the first reading continues, you rebuke offenders little by little, warn them and remind them of the sins they are committing. So God truly is the Lord of the universe, but he's not a dictator. Instead, in his wisdom and goodness, he has made us, truly, partners in his work of salvation. So in our Christian life, while we may be junior partners with God, the senior partner, that doesn't mean we can be lazy. The partnership is real. God has chosen to work with us, but if we don't do our part, his desired end for us will remain only partially fulfilled. And the church won't be as strong and fruitful as the Lord wants it to be. So what exactly is our part? St. Paul tells us, he prays that God will help the Thessalonians be worthy of their calling. But then he gets more specific. He actually prays that God will help them do well the two things every Christian is called to do. He asks God to bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith. This is our work, cultivating good purpose and making efforts of faith. Good purpose means having and constantly renewing Christian goals in life. Instead of feeding desires for wealth, pleasure, or popularity, the Christian ought to feed the desire to do great things for Christ and his church. Bringing others into Christ's friendship is a good purpose. Imbuing culture with Christian values is a good purpose. Glorifying God by developing our natural talents is a good purpose. And building a better world is a good purpose. But having Christian life goals is only half of the work we're called to do. We're also called to courageously achieve these goals in spite of obstacles, criticism, self-sacrifice, and even suffering. Today, Christ is inviting us to renew both our purpose and our commitment to achieve it. And that's our part. When we receive him again in Holy Communion tonight, let us accept that invitation and cooperate with his grace.